It's good to be with you again today. And this summer, we are journeying with Jesus as he teaches us about who God is. Jesus is God in human flesh, and nobody knows God better than Jesus. Jesus came to us from God. So when Jesus teaches his first disciples, and by extension us, present-day disciples, we have to sit up and pay close and careful attention to our teacher. This is why the four Gospels at the opening of the Bible's New Testament are gold, solid gold. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These texts all describe in rich and enthralling detail the life of Christ. God visits the earth, and we get to read all about it. Our vantage point looking back on the human life of Christ is an honor and a privilege. These are good days to be alive and reading the Bible. Will you join me as we drop down in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, one more time in this series that's coming to an end? God is our rest. What I want you to see today is that Jesus needed rest. And I want you to notice, with particular clarity, how Jesus rested. First, Jesus required rest. And second, how Jesus rested. We'll look at the details. Mark 6 has been so good to us. Over and over again in just this one chapter, we're learning how it is that God is our rest. Let me read for us now Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. I will read verses 45 through 47. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. Now, this is part of the true story that takes place after Jesus fed 5,000 men. And of course, when we add in the women and children, Jesus fed more like 20,000 people by miracle. Verse 45 says that, quote, immediately, unquote. So right away, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. I do love that little detail. Notice how Jesus had to make the disciples leave him. It's like dropping your young kids off somewhere that they do not want to go. You have to make them leave your side. I remember when we were kids, my mom sent my brother and I off one summer to the Meadow Breeze Day Camp over in Lexington, Massachusetts. We dreaded it and never wanted to go, but she made us, only to have us hatch an escape plan mid-morning. We got as far as the athletic fields when the guy running the camp found us. He brought us into his big office and called my mom. I'll never forget her driving over in her dark green Buick and picking us up, and when we got into the car, she had a couple of sun-kissed orange sodas waiting for us. We drove off with Mom, sipping our soda, never, ever to return. This is nothing against the day camp, by the way. As I understand it, the camp is still thriving. But I know the feeling of the disciples. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. There will be more on the results of this later. And once his closest and most intimate followers hit the water, the text said that Jesus sent the crowd away. And then, do not miss this, Jesus left for the mountain to pray. Jesus left for the mountain to pray. Imagine then that Jesus, standing on the shore as he waves goodbye to the disciples, and he sends them off along with the crowd so that he can go alone to a specific place, the mountain. If you were looking at the geography of the Sea of Galilee, one of the things that you will notice about it is that the eastern side is very mountainous. And if you climb up there, eventually it will even out into some plateau spaces where the Lord could have sat down and entered into the intimacy of prayer with his heavenly Father, God. Jesus was known for this. For example, let me also read John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 15. This is John 6 and verse 15. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Withdrew again to the mountain alone, says John. So Jesus is in the habit of doing this. And why does Jesus do this? And you can correctly and quickly answer, to pray. And you would be right. By the way, should you want to have the theological conversation about why Jesus prayed, we can do that sometime. But I see at least one other reason Jesus is going to the mountains. He's hiking up there for rest. Do you know that Jesus required rest, just like you and I? And of course he did. He's human, just as you and I are human, and all human beings need rest. But you say Jesus was also God, so why did he need rest? Well, it's the human nature of Christ that made him seek out a place of quiet rest. Jesus does this repeatedly. Let me give you a couple of examples so that you know Jesus resting extends beyond Mark 6. In Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 to 25, the Bible says, "When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep, and they came to him and woke Jesus." That is Matthew 8, verses 23 to 25. And notice what Jesus is doing. He's sleeping. Note this. Jesus napped. Jesus took a nap. If you are someone who enjoys a good nap, then you are in the company of Jesus. He took a rest wherever and whenever he could, even in a boat amidst a raging storm. So if you there in the storms of life doze off, good for you. And now you can justify the nap, even at work. If your boss has a problem with it, just tell him or her that, hey, Jesus napped. Just kidding. Well, only sort of kidding. Many studies say that naps are great for us. I believe it. And it appears Jesus believed it, right? And then there is this text in John 4 and verse 6. Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. This is when he meets the Samaritan woman. That true story begins with Jesus resting because he was tired. That's John chapter 4 and verse 6. All of this speaks to my first point. Jesus required rest. And he got it on boats and at a well, and also back to Mark 6, on a mountain. And my second point is this. Look at how Jesus rested. He did two things here in Mark 6. One, he got alone. He was by himself. Two, he prayed. Jesus was praying alone. We definitely know that up on that mountain plain by the Sea of Galilee, the Lord was by himself. Let me refresh your memory here a little with verse 47. This is Mark 6, verse 47. "When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land." You can highlight that when you get to your Bible. Jesus was alone on the land. That little detail is important. Learning from Jesus, how do we find our true rest in God? Believe in the Lord Jesus by faith, and God will give you spiritual rest. Then, once you acquire the most necessary type of rest, get alone with God and pray. Jesus is not up on the mountain spacing out. He didn't carry up there some game to play or a hammock to tie between two trees so that he can tilt his head back, lie down, and look up at the stars. He isn't sipping his favorite beverage. No. What is Jesus doing as he rests? He is in prayer. That is how Jesus rested, and I submit to you that's how we too can find our rest in God. Get alone and be in prayer. So let me remind you, here's what we're learning today in the classroom of Christ. First, Jesus required rest, and second, we learn how Jesus rested. And now we want to model our lives after his. Let's stick with our story as we conclude today's broadcast over the next few minutes. Let me read down a little bit further in Mark 6, this time verses 47 to 51. "When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against the disciples, at about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw Jesus and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, 'Take courage, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then Jesus got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. That's Mark 6, verses 47 through 51. The Sea of Galilee can kick up some nasty storms, and it does so quickly. And these 12 men got in the boat and were stuck in a major storm. The wind was against them, and so they were straining at the oars. This was definitely not row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. The sea was angry. Imagine how tired this rowing in the face of the wind made these guys. And I submit to you that tiredness plus the fear that the swirling storm created had made them mistake Jesus for a ghost. And so here is a question for you to ponder in addition to what else I've shared with you today. When you are exhausted and fearful, or maybe you are fearful because you're exhausted, what do you see? Who do you see? Do you look out for Jesus and find him walking on the water to you? Do you hear him say to you, in the words of verse 50, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid"? Oftentimes when we, as modern-day disciples of Jesus Christ, are in a storm and we are afraid and we are all tuckered out from rowing, what we most need to hear is the voice of Jesus. "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Are you tired? Take some time out and go on a retreat with Jesus. If Jesus needed rest, and he did, then certainly you do. And do what he did when you get to your quiet mountain. Pray. Hear his voice and be comforted, strengthened and encouraged to carry on in this troubled, wearisome, and sin-sick world. And then join me again tomorrow, for God is...